two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We're right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott's got the old notebook out. That means we're down to business right here at the top of the program.
Do you know, I am so excited about college football starting.
I know.
Seriously, I wake up every day and I'm like, okay, Utah's going to Florida. Man, this is exciting.
Not just Utah, you are. I mean, like,
well, yeah.
To be calling the game there at the Swamp, I mean, check it off the list of cool places to go and do a game, right? I mean,
yes,
that's going to be really, really exciting.
I'm just excited because I think this is going to be an eventful year all across the state of Utah in football. Utah has a serious opportunity and chance to go to the college football playoffs. A lot of people are talking about it. Very excited. Very, very, very excited.
I want to get, listen.
You know what else I'm excited about?
What is it?
G2G bars.
The program, as always, presented to you by the folks at G2G, our newest partnership with Good to Go. G2G Bar is the refrigerated, preservative-free protein bar that will give you a boost that you
so
need.
So good.
Really good. Try all the flavors. Refrigerated. Is that for us? Because we're...
Refrigerated?
They are so
refrigerated?
Good. Refrigerated. We got to move these refrigerators. So... They're in your refrigerated section. I saw them today at the. We were talking about them being at Maverick, and yeah, I'm at Maverick every day. So the G2Gs are staring me in the face in the refrigerated parts of the cold case there. Anywhere you want them, they're going to be. And ask for them if they're not at the grocery store that you use. All right, let's kick the show off here. We got something to talk about. Speaking of Utah football, speaking of people talking about the University of Utah, this is the most pub that this team has ever gotten. Is that hyperbole, Scott? This is the most attention this team has ever gotten at this point in the season.
I don't know what hyperbole means, but yes, it does.
Is it too much? Is it me overspeaking to say that this team is that right now the across the country this team is talked about more than it ever has been in the preseason?
So Ryan Day said, you know what, an 11-2 season and winning a Rose Bowl is not really exciting at Ohio State.
Isn't that dumb?
And you kind of feel that way with Utah this year, it's a team that uh-oh. Really is. You know, I really believe Utah faithful are like college football playoffs. So when there's that much expectation or that much hope and that much hope and that much hype, hyperbole early, then, you know, you kind of worry that the only thing that can happen is you can go down. That in the back of, because that's how we are as sports fans. And you're just like, oh, man, I hope everyone stays healthy and I hope they don't have one of those games that they should win, like Coastal Carolina and BYU a few years ago. And if they just win that one game, they're in.
They're there.
You know, and so you just don't want to have that kind of year.
Well, normally a voice that we can't stand hearing is from Paul Feinbaum, the SEC, the bobblehead for the SEC.
What's his name? Paul Feinbaum?
Feinbaum.
Feinbaum.
Feinbaum's on the talk on the path here talking about the Utes. He's done it before in a very different context. But let's start off the show as we always do here with the cut. Let's jump right in here.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uviewhealth.org. That is going to bug me all show.
I know.
So the engineers, our fantastic engineers, Dave and Jake, came in and we had been talking about this today. We love having a big old digital clock in these studios. It helps us stay on, right?
Yes.
Instead of looking for a miniature one or looking at my wrist all the time to try to get out.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is.
And he said, do you want to change it to red? I said, yeah, let's have red for the numbers because the yellow hue kind of made everyone's eyes go funky.
Right.
And the red doesn't, but only one of the numbers was changed to red.
Yeah.
And Scott and I were both going, this cannot happen. We can't have this. But they did. They just changed it all to red. So there you go. Man, our engineers are great. I'm glad they read our minds today. We wanted a new digital clock, and here we got it. Paul Feinbaum. Do you remember? You're just going to speak it into existence?
Yep.
I want that red. Turn that thing to red. Oh, it happened. I want $1 million. Here's the deal. Back in 2019, Paul Feinbaum, and I can't stop saying it now, Paul Feinbaum in 2019 had this to say about Utah when they were in the discussion, at least. Remember those last few weeks before they went into to play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. This is what we were all kind of staring at, was what are the Utes going to be able to do? And where do they stand on the national side of things? Here's what Paul Feinbaum said about them back in 2019.
Let me give you, Paul Feinbaum, the following scenarios, okay? Oklahoma beats Baylor and wins the Big 12. Utah beats Oregon and wins the Pac-12. And LSU takes care of business against Georgia. Who gets the fourth spot?
Oklahoma's getting in. Because let's be honest, the country does not want to see Utah in the college football playoff. It's Utah.
That did not go over well.
You suck.
I do like.
Paul
I do
Fine
love.
Bum.
You know what I love is that there was somebody like on the in the TV crew who was like, "What's your problem, dude?"
Yeah.
Like they're giving him flack from off the stage. It's Utah. I hate that idea. It's Utah. Well, fill in the blank with whatever state in the SEC, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Mississippi. It's Alabama. It's Florida. Right? I mean, like,
it's Vanderbilt. It's Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, that attitude, to go from that to what we got out of Paul Feinbaum now about the University of Utah now in 2022, the tune has changed, and here we are. I don't know, is this a – Paul Feinbaum doesn't eat humble pie, but – he's at least kind of fessing up to this about the University of Utah.
If Utah goes to Florida and wins that game, then they have a clear path. Ultimately, the schools have to get past the SEC or Ohio State in the playoffs. And I think that's really the problem. And I think you could make just a stronger case, almost a stronger case, as I should say, for Ohio State to win the national championship here against Alabama. And you're going to hear people say Ohio State's going to win, and it's really not a stretch when you look at what they have on the roster. Beyond Alabama and Ohio State, who is the next tier? And by the way, we're in the era of trying to get 12 into a playoff, we're looking for 3 and 4 right now.
Here's what's great. When that's being said, what we're talking about here is how amazing would it be? Because we talk about Utah's being that number 4, but if there really isn't a clear 3 or 4, or if Ohio State ends up beating Notre Dame early and then they kind of carve their way all the way through and they're the number one team in the country, why not? What if Utah's at 4 and Ohio State's at number 1 and you have a rematch from last year's Rose Bowl? That would be, to me, the way that Utah is able to be the first non-SEC team in a long time to be able to actually win in the first round of, that's not your, it's not your Alabama, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson from the ACC maybe, but your Ohio States and your Alabamas and your Clemsons, all of these teams are on there. If Utah could be that team, if they could face off against Ohio State, then that game means so much more. And from a national perspective, you go, these teams warmed up against each other last year in the dang Rose Bowl.
Yeah, so if you're reading into what Paul Feinbaum says, He says a lot here, okay, and he's still a SEC homer, but there's a couple of things.
He doesn't fully compliment Utah, just
but
yeah,
he does. I mean, this validates what we've been saying this whole entire offseason, and they don't get more national, they don't get more entrenched in college football and the epicenter of it. Paul Feinbaum, before the season started, says Utah wins its game against Florida. And it has a clear path. It's not like, well, they may be considered, you got to watch out for them. It's like they're going to get on the map, boom, immediately. They're going to validate what happened a year ago, and off they go. And that's what the significance of this game against Florida. Someone who doesn't particularly like Utah, probably doesn't know where it is, probably doesn't think much about Utah, maybe a little bit more than in the past, but this is someone about as anti-Western United States Pac-12 football as you could possibly get, makes a statement like that. Now, on the flip side of it, he says, ultimately,
there's only two teams.
You got to go through the SEC.
Yeah.
And that's not wrong. I mean, that's not wrong. And that's the homer side of this. But here was something that I find interesting. He got outside of the SEC world and said, Ohio State might be a legitimate contender for the national championship. And I think he's doing it for this reason. I don't think he's doing it because he wants Ohio State to win. I think he's doing it to say there are two conferences in this country. There are two conferences that matter. Nothing else matters. I think Paul Feinbaum has recognized and is probably trying to propagate
this two-party system they've got going on in college football now.
And so he's out there beating the drum for everyone in the SEC and the Big Ten, because he realizes that both of those conferences together can be rather massive.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, on the other side of it, to your point, Utah and Ohio State, 1-4 in a college football playoff game.
That's Ute fan dream right there.
Utah essentially is the same team they were, maybe better. Okay, well, if they're healthy, they're better. Because you look at Ohio State, where Ohio State had a massive advantage was where Utah had a massive disadvantage. I mean, you're playing a running back at cornerback. You're out of corners. Like, you don't have enough guys to play in the game.
Against one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
And not only that, wide receivers.
That were insane.
And Jigma was, like, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? Ohio State is that team still. Utah is this team still.
And is much better in its secondary. And I guarantee you it's going to be a much different game, better game. And Utah's not going to get blown out of this game. It's not going to be like, oh, they were a token, congratulations, you made it kind of team. I don't believe that.
And then there wasn't and then Ohio State, for the week leading up, people were like, oh, it's a disappointment to them. They're treating this like Alabama did back in the Sugar Bowl. And there was always that little tinge of, well, maybe you're not even going to get the best Ohio State. By about the third quarter, we all realized, oh, no, you're getting some good Ohio State.
Would that not just be the sweetest revenge?
That's what I'm saying. It's like you lost
the Rose Bowl. It's like this Cinderella season. It's Cam rising out of the ashes. And really, you know, he was a guy that was injured. He was passed over to start. You know, he stuck with it. He was the quarterback that was the first one ever to beat USC in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. First quarterback for Utah to win a Pac-12 championship. And they come up just a little bit short in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And to go back the next year and to play Alabama in the college football playoffs and beat them. And then play for a national championship. You go, that is college football. That's a kid who said, I'm not going to transfer because I didn't start. This could just be an amazing story that unfolds in college football if it were to happen. I can't believe I'm saying it.
I know, but you spoke about it like it was. He goes, because you're going, and this game is going to be, this is the one that Utah wants. This is the one that, this is going to be a great game between these two teams. Why not? Why not have this game end up be the one between these two teams?
You know, Joe Burrow, when he was at LSU, mm-hmm. the thing that really jumped off the page with me, and you knew he was a good quarterback, was no game was too big for him. Like every game he played in college football, he was like, this is what I was born to do. And he did it against tough SEC teams during the regular season, in the championship game, in the playoffs, and in the championship. And then he goes into the pros, and he goes to these, like, you're not supposed to win on the road, Joe Burrow, especially if you're in Cincinnati. Like, you're not supposed to win in Cincinnati, period. And you get a sense that Cam Rising's that same kind of quarterback. There was no game a year ago that was too big for Cam Rising. And that's where you go, that's where you put a lot of hope, where he showed up in the Coliseum against USC because no other quarterback at Utah since joining the Pac-12 has figured out how to beat USC in Los Angeles, except for Cam Rising. And he figured out how to beat Oregon twice and play in the Pac-12 championship and played lights out in the Rose Bowl. So I just believe that you have a quarterback, you have a team. Nothing is above what they can envision or what they believe they can play in. And that's what you have to have. Yeah, you know, years ago, Utah was like,
we're so lucky to be here. We're lucky to be in the Pac-12 championship game, and we think we're good enough this time, and they were. We're lucky to be in the Rose Bowl. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Maybe we'll never get back again. And now all of that has totally changed. And
completely.
I think that attitude-wise, you see that change with Kyle Whittingham. Starts at the top, right? And that has changed for him. Everything has been different for this Utah team, I think, compared to all the other times that they've had really, really solid seasons. You think about the undefeated seasons, and they were nice years for what? For those G5, bowl buster. When they call you a bowl buster, they're telling you that your program is not very good
right.
otherwise.
Right.
Like, you kind of lucked into this thing. And there's always going to live a little bit of that until you can just kind of live in this space where you feel like you belong all the time. And right now, Utah feels like they are better than they were last year. They certainly are off to a good start when it comes to, you know, feeling like you have all your guys back. You have all this returning production. You have maybe the best wide receiving core you've had in a while. Your offensive line is more solid than you thought it would be, maybe. There's depth there. You've got guys who people are recognizing across the country as being, you know, nationally recognized dudes. These are top, top guys. And I don't think that you had that before. I don't think you definitely didn't have the caliber of player when they would have those. Even when Alex Smith was a quarterback, even when Brian Johnson was a quarterback, those guys.
Even when they beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, it was an accident. It was Alabama wasn't really trying hard.
Or at least that's what people said, right? That's what it feels like.
That's what people.
And so then it ends up being the perception.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of reality there. That's the part where I go, the quote unquote special year, right? That we make fun of as a term. Ooh, it's going to be a special year. So what does a special year mean? The only thing that matters right now for Utah is they have this. I mean, we talk about this all the time with the Jazz, right? Where we go, there's this window, right? There's this window. And if you don't jump through it at that exact moment, it's going to be closed for who knows how long. After this season, the window starts to close a little bit more. You've got USC is going to be more powerful.
Oregon's going to be more powerful.
Oregon is going to be better.
Washington's going to get better.
Maybe Cam Rising is not your quarterback next season. Maybe a lot of these guys. Clark Phillips definitely wants to be moving on.
He'll be gone.
Tavion Thomas, sorry to break it to you, definitely doesn't want to be here next year.
Hope he makes it through this year. I mean, really.
I mean, that's the way it is. So that window is slightly open, and when you can legitimately tell your fan base, we are going to go to the college football playoff, and it is our goal. And it all starts at that Florida game that Paul Feinbaum says, as you heard it, if they win that game, there is a clear path.
You know what's so, like, a reality I didn't think was a reality. You know, where people say there's a moral victory, you know?
And yeah, like that loss in the Rose Bowl.
There are no moral victories, right?
That loss in the Rose Bowl was looked at like a moral victory. Though.
Completely. Like, it changed people's perception of you. And they didn't win. They lost. But it really changed everyone. It was like, wow, they were beating Ohio State most of the game. And not only for an entire team, but for players like Clark Phillips, Like you watch, because the only bright spot in a really ugly secondary was Clark Phillips, maybe Cole Bishop. But the holes and the weaknesses were massively exposed for Utah. But Clark Phillips actually went toe-to-toe with some of the top receivers in college football and did a good job. And so he got a massive bump. But so did players like Cam Rising.
Yeah.
I mean it's just, I don't know that I've ever really seen it, and I don't really like to even use the term because it's like Coach Whittingham says, you got to prove it. Like, nothing's going to be given to you, and you got to prove it on the field. You got to win the games. But I'm telling you, that game, if there ever was one, was a moral victory. And it really is that. And maybe what it is that bowl game is like a continuation leading into the next season. Right. Maybe it's the first game. It's the start of the next season. And I have to believe that mentally the whole entire program just went up. Like it was like, we can actually do this. Like these guys, as they say, put their pants on exactly the same way we do. And you just get a sense that that Utah just broke through this barrier, this mental barrier that just kind of glass ceiling they just kind of been held down by, and they just broke through it. It's fascinating to see because you know who else it changed? It changed Paul Feinbaum. I mean, really?
But kind of. Like, not all the way where he goes, Utah's got a clear path. And by the way, there's no other team, by the way, besides Ohio State and Alabama, there ain't nobody else who's really going to win a national championship. And they just kind of move on from that. It's nice. Utah will get in. That's nice. There's still so many things that the SEC would love to say that isn't that cute, right? They just love to bring that up. Oh, isn't that cute? Utah got in the college football play. Isn't that cute? They got in the Rose Bowl last year. Came up short, but man, wasn't it cute? What a fun game. You guys did great. It's like, come on. That's not where Kyle Whittingham's team is now. I want to see whatever the next step is. And I think you're right. I just don't think Cam Rising's attitude is hilarious because you just don't get the vibe that this guy would ever get rattled by anything. He's going to end up somewhere good in the NFL, I think, because he just doesn't look like him. He just doesn't – nothing rattles him. Nothing rattles a guy. So we'll see. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program. When we return, we've got ourselves a couple things around the corner. Specifically, a little bit of some chat about realignment as it pertains to Notre Dame, a team that BYU is going to be facing this year, a team that will likely be ahead of Utah in some of these polls and still has an opening week game against Ohio State. If Notre Dame wins that game, maybe the ceiling is – I mean, obviously the path would be clear for them too. We'll come back. We'll chat about that a little bit more right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G, the G2G bar, refrigerated, preservative-free, delicious freaking protein bar. You got to try it for yourself in the refrigerated section of your favorite convenience store. Before we get to the break, though, let's jump out to Miles. Miles is on the horn here with us from Wasatch Medical Clinic. Miles, if you're talking to us, it's because we want to be able to have guys talk with you about a subject that's not real easy to talk about. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, it's not cute either, but ED is a problem for about 30 million men in this country. 71% of them are not seeking any treatment. We all understand why, guys. The pill, that's the go-to for like 30 years. Even though Harvard reported it doesn't even work on 30% of guys. All the other treatments, they come with their own set of side effects, recovery times, whatnot. But you know what? It's the future now. We have a technology to treat ED, which is pain-free, non-invasive, with no recovery time, treating ED at the root cause of the problem.
You mentioned Harvard speaking about the pill doesn't work, but you've had a lot of studies done, clinical studies done about your procedure. Tell us a little bit about some of those studies.
You bet. So Harvard reported that bad news about the pill, but the good news is the clinical studies that we have shown that this form of therapy, which is called acoustic wave therapy, does work on the pill, or I'm sorry, on the patient, even when the pill fails. It's a technology. It uses pressure waves to expand the blood vessels to allow for more blood flow, oftentimes even repair themselves. You could be seeing an end date to your ED before kickoff.
If people are listening to the station now and Miles is on from Wasatch Medical Clinic, Miles, you usually have deals for everybody. You love bringing the free. So maybe it's that extra incentive today for the guy who's listening who wants to take that leap. You guys do it confidentially. What's the value that they can do today for them?
today is an even better day because I brought even more free. You awesome. Always nice. Get the initial exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound free of charge. We do have the additional gift that provides powerful results in the bedroom that guys love. But because today is Wednesday, Wednesday only will include tune-up treatments. If we treat you and your results for any reason start to fade over time, come back in. We'll retreat you again free of charge.
801-901-8000. It's 801-901-8000. If you want to get a hold of the folks at Wasatch Medical Clinic, make an appointment today. You can also go to the website, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. You can schedule an appointment right there. Miles will be chatting with you the rest of the day. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Sounds good, guys.
801-901-8000, Wasatch Medical Clinic. There you go. We'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go right around the corner. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.